First Peter and chapter 2. If you'll stand, please, out of love and respect for the Word of God. First Peter chapter 2. We'll read the first 10 verses tonight. And don't get your hopes up. We're just going to read the first 10 verses. I'll read out loud. You follow along silently here in 1 Peter chapter 2. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God, and precious. Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore, also it is contained in the Scripture, behold, I lay in Sion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. I just noticed what a wonderful crowd we have tonight. It's fantastic. Thank you so much for being here today. Now, in my Bible, I know many, many Bibles, the printers and publishers have different things that they do. You know, some of them have, bold headings, and some of them have different things that they do in the Scriptures. And it has nothing to do with translation. It just has to do with presentation, okay? I don't know if presentation is inspired or not. Maybe that's something I should look out and search for. I'm not sure. Just like some may say that the chapters and verse markings are not necessarily inspired. And that's probably true. But anyways, for me, it's a special. Because I look to weird things. And you know that, okay? Because I'm odd. I notice odd things. Birds of a feather kind of thing. And I notice odd things. But in my Bible, as we begin chapter 2, I've always told you that whenever there's a therefore or a wherefore, you ought to look why it's therefore or wherefore, right? So that's important. But in my Bible, I don't know if it is in your Bible, because I can't see all your Bibles at once here. You can show me if you'd like. Everybody show me? Okay. Guys? Okay, I can't read that far away. All right. My wherefore is all caps. Anybody else's wherefore all caps? Yeah, okay, amen. All right. I just think that's cool. Because it's like, boom, wherefore. I mean, it's just this giant wherefore in my Bible. And to me, it's like the neon blinking sign that says, look at me, look at me, look at me. You know, we ought to notice it, right? And so here we are. We're beginning chapter 2. And Peter is, I don't know if he intended it for it to be like this, but he says, wherefore? Okay? In other words, because of what I said in chapter 1, do this. All right? So this is a great time to review chapter 1. Okay, now, see, the my Bible was just screaming at me. Review chapter 1. All right, now, we have an opportunity to look back and to be reminded. How often do we read the Scriptures and really gloss over things? We don't do it intentionally. We just kind of do it, innocently. We just kind of roll past it, and it doesn't really hit home until maybe something like an all caps wherefore smacks you in the face. All right? It says, pay attention to me. All right? Now, So we have this wherefore. So let's look back at what Peter was instructing these strangers, these Gentile believers, that quite possibly the Apostle Paul had a first-hand effort in reaching them for Christ. Okay? But Peter's not trying to re-preach these things because he's a better preacher than Paul is. He is a co-laborer with Paul, and he's wanting Paul's fruit that he produced all throughout the Gentile world to continue to bring forth fruit and to continue and to be fruit that remains. We just, the teenagers, we just read about fruit that remains in our scriptures tonight. Now, as we look back to this, the word wherefore takes us back to chapter 1 to review what Peter was saying. We have a life that the unsaved sinner does not have. We have a life to live, and they don't. We are not the same as unbelievers. Just as much as the Gentiles were not the same as the Jews. Do you understand that there's a difference in culture, there's a difference in belief, there's a difference in a lot of things between the Jews and the Gentiles. So Peter was trying to help them understand that, look, we are not the same. We have something that the unsaved do not have. We belong to a family that the unsaved do not belong to. We have an inheritance reserved for us, and we're kept by the power of God. They don't have that. God expects us and has an expectation of us that he doesn't have of the lost world. Do you know what God expects of the lost world? To be lost. Do you know what he expects of the lost world? To sin. Do you know what he expects of the lost world? Not to even care that he exists. I mean, that's God's expectation of the lost world. Why? Because that's what they are. But we are not that. We believe he exists. We've accepted Jesus Christ. We have a different perspective because of our salvation. So God has an expectation of us that he doesn't have of the lost world. We are to be different in the way that we face trials and suffering. That was verses 6 through 9. We're to be different in the way that we think. Verse 13. We are called by God to be different from the unsaved world because of God's holiness, because of God's judgment, and because of the great price that God paid for our redemption. We have a reason to be different. Some of us are just different because we're different, but we actually have a reason as Christians to be different than the world. And so Peter is helping these Gentile believers understand this as they're going through the transition from being heathenistic, pagan, not even knowing about God, as Paul preached in Athens, you know, the unknown God, and he preached unto them, and it was just something they really didn't understand. And so now they have a different viewpoint because of what has happened in their life through salvation. So Peter goes on to say, wherefore, because of this new life in Christ, because of the word of God that endureth forever, and because of the gospel that was preached unto you, because you're born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever, wherefore? And now we can begin chapter 2. Isn't that nice? You see, the Bible gave me my whole introduction, and I didn't even have to work hard at it. I thought that was great. Now, wherefore, laying aside, this is where we struggle in the Christian life. We have all these wonderful things. We have a new life in Christ. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. We have the Holy Spirit of God. We're sealed by the Holy Spirit of God. He can work in and through us and wants to work in and through us. And we have, if you will, and again, I don't mean any disrespect by this at all, but we have unlimited forgiveness, right? We have unlimited grace. We have liberty in Christ.
And remember, I'm not talking negatively about those things. It's our human nature that uses those things, you know, for the benefit of the flesh. We ought not do that. But we have all this stuff, and yet we must lay aside. This is an active thing. And can I not only say it's not only just an active thing, it's a continually active thing. Because guess what? We're saved once. Don't have to do it over and over and over again. But we do need to lay aside over and over and over again. This old flesh has an uncanny character trait. It revives day after day. You can kill it. You can crucify it. You can flatten it. You can forget it. You can lose it. You can get rid of it. You can beat it up. You can throw it in a box. And tomorrow morning, it'll be right next to you again. It just has one of those things. It just does. So you know what? We can do this. And Peter certainly says this big old wherefore right here. I mean, I'm just staring at it. It's bigger than any other word on this page. Wherefore? Because of the word of God that liveth and abideth forever. Because of the incorruptible seed, and because of this so great inheritance that's undefiled and fadeth not away. It's reserved in heaven for you. You're kept by the power of God, and all these things that he talked about in chapter 1. He said, we've got to do this continually. Laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings. We've got to lay aside some things. We've got to actively and continually set aside the old man. The old nature, the old life, this old flesh that plagues us day after day after day. And let me not even, I'm not trying to discourage you. I'll encourage you here in just a moment. Let me discourage you for a moment. Okay. Sometimes, after you've gotten up and you've set yourself aright and you've laid aside these things, and you've read your Bible, and you've prayed, and you've walked with God, as you get into your car, and you go down the road, sometimes that old flesh doesn't even wait until overnight to revive itself. Sometimes it revives itself in the form of a person that got their license out of a Cracker Jack box. And they make you mad. Because they cut you off, or because they did this, or because they did that. And that old flesh flings the box open and says, ha ha, I'm back! Or your boss at work carefully and gently places that last straw on the camel's back. And it's over with. I can't believe he did that, right? Forgive, long-suffering, grace, all out the window. Come on now. Sometimes it doesn't even wait an hour, 2 hours, half the day through. Hey, listen to me. He says to them, wherefore, laying aside. So we've got to work at laying this aside. So let's talk about some of these things here. We are to be different in our attitude, our character, and our actions. There are five things that are revealed here that we need to learn to lay aside. And again, not a one-time action, but a many times action, maybe even many times a day action, laying aside these things. Malice refers to any kind of wickedness. Okay? As in a general sense, lay aside wickedness. Okay? So if anything seems to be of evil nature or wickedness, we need to immediately recognize it and lay it aside. Do you understand that the wicked, evil world is all around us? Okay, this just popped into my head because that's what happens sometimes to my head. Things pop in there. All right. Noah, we talked about Noah, right? And we got here it is, verse 5. Thank you, Lord, for finding that for me so quickly. Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Lay it aside. We need to learn as believers in Christ, as people that are claiming that we're born again. We have a new life in Christ, and listen, we say, look, I'm going to walk in the Spirit. I'm going to let the Spirit of God fill me, right? And be filled with the Spirit. Be not drunk with wine and wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. And we've already talked about how we cannot be full of something if we're full of ourselves. So what do we have to do? We have to lay that aside and allow the Holy Spirit of God to fill our container. Malice. Any general sense and kind of wickedness or evil. All right, the next one we need to lay aside. Guile. Guile means to catch with bait or craftiness. All right, so this is craftiness, manipulation, any kind of thing. Anything that has to do with undermining or trying on purpose to set a snare. You understand that, Ethan, I don't know how many times do I have to tell this story and get you in trouble? He hates this story, don't you? Yeah, he does. We were looking back at pictures and we have pictures of Ethan, with his big old grin on his face, holding Ian as a baby. Those of you that know these two, can you imagine that? It was photoshopped. There was one point in time that he actually enjoyed having a baby brother. I don't know how long that lasted, but whatever. Right, Ian? Maybe. Okay. But, as a young boy, I remember one particular instance Ian had gotten in trouble, and that was a normal thing. Ian had gotten in trouble. And so I told him that he needed to sit on the couch. And I sat him on the couch. I said, you stay on that couch, you're in trouble and such. And so I leave. But I was within earshot. And I hear this voice. Ian, your toy is over here. And as soon as the feet hit the floor, Daddy, Ian got off the couch. Your kids never do those kinds of things. I never did that to my brothers and sisters, did I, Mom and Dad? I did? Okay. The apple doesn't fall far from the tree, amen? But that's kind of like what guile is, okay? I mean, human beings can be some manipulative type creatures, can't we? And we always try to jockey things and arrange things to benefit us. And you know what? Peter says, lay that aside. Don't think like that. Don't act like that. Don't be like that. He says, this craftiness, it's not how God works. Folks, do you understand that God does not work in craftiness? The devil works in craftiness. That's his thing. The old bait and switch, right? I mean, that God doesn't do the bait and switch. That's a devil thing. And listen, that's not how we are to be. So we need to lay aside guile. All right, the next one he says here in chapter 2, verse 1, he says, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies. One of the things that we as Christians often find ourselves in trouble in is that we don't live like we preach, right? And it's easier to say, well, do what I say and not what I do. Right? And listen, we oftentimes get ourselves in trouble with that. Hypocrisy means to judge under. As a person giving off his judgment behind a mask. This covers up, this covers impersonation and deception. And listen, laying aside hypocrisy just simply means to be who you are. To live life in reality. Not behind a mask. Not covering things up. Not pretending to be something that we're not. Listen, I will tell you all the time. I'm not perfect. Nobody's perfect. But the Word of God is perfect. And our Savior, the Word of God, capital W, is perfect. Do you understand that if I lie, which I have been known to do, oh no, it doesn't mean that lying's okay. Oh, but you're the pastor, you're the preacher. No. It's a principle from Scripture. It's true, I'm human. But you know what? If I were to pretend to be perfect in your sight, right? Oh, look at me. Worship me. Think high. No. But isn't that what the Pharisees did? Isn't that? Oh, you know, they stood on a street corner. I thank God that I'm not as this publican. You are as that publican. Actually, you're probably worse because you're a whited sepulcher full of dead men's bones. So you understand that Peter says, look, we need to lay these things aside and put them off, if you will. And we're going to talk about that in just a moment. But he says, lay these things aside. Hypocrisies and envies. You say, why are you going through each one of these? Because Peter listed them out individually as well. What is envy? Envy is the feeling of displeasure because of the advantage or prosperity of another. You want to know what this is related to? Covetousness. Okay? Wanting something that someone else has. Or if you will, being dissatisfied with what you have because of what someone else has. Okay? Listen to me. God has given to each one of us what we're supposed to have. How about that? Do you know what? Not everybody can have the looks that I have. Thank you. I mean, look, my full wavy hair, you know, just my Cheshire cat smile. Sometimes missing a tooth, right? I remember my tooth today, Brother Hollington. Aren't you proud of me? But no, I mean, come on, right? No. So many times we get discouraged or defeated or we get this pouty lip, right? The, oh, woe is me, because we don't have what others have. Can I tell you something? If you don't have it, you're not supposed to have it yet. Or maybe you're not supposed to have it at all. Who's in control? Who's running the show? Who decides if I get $100 and you get $1,000? God does. Who decides if you get to be a millionaire and I get to be a hundredaire? I mean, right? And guess what? The hundredaire can be just as happy as the millionaire. And should be, if you will. Because that's what God has decided to give to you. To oversee. To manage. Do you suppose that when Jesus told those stories in the New Testament about the people that were given five and the one that was given two and the one that was given... why'd you give him five? He only gave me two. Why is he so special? Well, he's so special because that's who the master chose. And the master, it was the master's 5 talents. It wasn't that guy's 5 talents. It was the master's 5 talents. He just got to oversee 5 of them. And I get to oversee 2. And this guy got to oversee 1. He says, envy. We need to lay it aside. And then he says, and all evil speakings. Evil speakings are the act of defaming, slandering, or speaking against another person. Oh boy. We could preach, well, I have before, whole messages on this little member. Right? That sets everything on fire. It's a little member. The Bible tells us, right? And guess what? We can't control it. You know who can? The Holy Spirit of God. So we've got to lay it aside. This thing of evil speakings, hey, we need to lay it aside. There's no need to defame, slander, speak against others. Listen, we're supposed to restore people. We're supposed to be forgiving people, right? And be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as brother. Lord, how many times should I forgive my brother? Yea, 7 times? No, Peter. Do you think Peter knows what he's talking about? You suppose Peter ever had some evil speakings? Oh, yes. You think Peter ever had a difficulty with malice and guile and hypocrisies and envies? I think so. Peter was a pretty off-the-wall kind of guy, wasn't he? Kind of like a pinball in a pinball machine. Right? Just all over the place. But you know what got him back in line? Lovest thou me more than these? Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. I mean, think about Peter's life and think about why he can write this to these people. He understands this. So he says, wherefore, you guys did a terrible job listening to the introduction. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings. So he starts out this chapter with this admonition to take these 5 things and to lay them aside. And then he makes this comment, which of course we're not to the end of the sentence yet. You understand? There's still commas here. Separating these thoughts within this one complete thought. Okay, so how many of you were focusing on this complete thought? I know it's a little late for grammar in the evening. I understand that. But think about it for just a second, okay? I promise it won't hurt too bad. Just a little bit. And envies and all evil speakings, comma. As newborn babes, comma. Desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be, ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Okay, so here's, I told you I read verse 10, but don't get your hopes up. So we're going to get through verse 3. Glory, hallelujah. All right, now, take these things, these 3 things here, and we're going to couple them with how he ended chapter 1. Because we're going back to the Word of God. Think about this. If I take this book, and I get up in the morning, and I go through and I sit down after I've been caffeinated and awake so I can understand and think through things. If I have malice, guile, hypocrisies, envies, and evil speakings lurking within me, how is this book going to do for me? As I read through the chapters and the pages, not having laid aside these things, how are we going to fare? Not well. How much of this am I actually going to retain? Not much. How much of this book is going to actually affect me throughout the day if I have not yet laid aside these other things. Nominal at best. So, wherefore, because the word of the Lord endureth forever, because it is the incorruptible seed, because it liveth and abideth forever, because it's by the word by which the gospel was preached unto me, I need to lay aside these things so that as a newborn babe, I can take this milk and get all the benefits from it. Right? And that's what we need in our daily lives. What a waste would it be to take in the Word of God and not receive any of the benefits from it? Correct? Yeah, I mean, think of a child, a baby. We have little Emily. Think of little Emily. And she's receiving that milk. She's what, 3 months now? Almost 4 months, okay? And she's receiving. Think about if none of those nutrients got into her system. How would she do? She would not do well. So if we will not lay aside the flesh, lay aside these things, we will stay newborn babes. It will stunt our growth. We won't receive the nutrients from the Word of God that we should receive. He says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word that ye may grow. I know of Christians that have been saved 10, 20, 30 years and are still baby Christians. You know why that is? Because they haven't laid aside. They haven't laid aside these things. You understand that we must participate in this action of laying these things. You say, why must we? He says, if so be, ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. We should, because our Lord is worth it, folks. He's special. He's our Savior. He died on the cross. And I'm not going to take the time to go through the gruesome details of the crucifixion. But Lord, please listen to me. That's worth us laying aside all these fleshly things. There's a word, we're going to get to it in verse 4. Precious. Because he's precious is why we should. All right, just a few things as I wrap up these verses. I'm not even going to try. Okay, Isaiah chapter 1. Wash you, make you clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do well. Seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless. Plead for the widow. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If ye be willing, remember, lay aside. Be wherefore, it's kind of a begging. If you be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. But if ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. Isn't that enough? I think it is. Ephesians chapter 4. This I say therefore and testify in the Lord. This is of course Paul writing to the folks at Ephesus. These are some of those that Peter is writing to as well. He says, I testify in the Lord that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them. We just talked about that, right? We have a different life than they have. He says that because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ. Let me just insert a little thought for you. But ye have not so tasted Christ. You understand? It's okay to, we can flip those words around. Again, we're not changing the scripture. Think. It's the same thing. He says, this is not what you've learned. This is not what you've experienced. This is not what you've tasted. But ye have not so learned Christ. If so be that ye have heard him. He says here, if so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Do you see the similarities here of the illustrations? So Paul goes on to say in Ephesians, he says, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation of the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created, in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, put away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not, let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, i.e. malice, guile, hypocrisies, envies, evil speakings. I lost my spot. I put my hand there for a reason. But that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking, oh, that's said here too, be put away from you with all malice. There it is again. And be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. That's where we are. You see, these first three verses, if you will, and that's when the period actually comes for us. If so be, ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. These three verses are one thought leading us to think back to chapter one. Because of the word wherefore. By the way, just to be sure, I looked up the word eschew for you. Because it has to do with this thing of laying aside, if you will. It actually means to flee from, to shun, or to avoid. It was said of Job that he was a man in the land of Uz. His name was Job. And that man was perfect and upright and one that feared God and eschewed evil. Folks, we need to lay aside these things. We need to flee from them. We need to shun them. We need to avoid them at all cost. Why? So we can grow by the Word of God. Do you want your prayer time to avail much? The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man? Guess what a righteous man does? Lays aside these things. Do we want the Word of God to be effective in our life? It won't be if you don't lay aside these things. It is precious. He, the Lord Jesus Christ, is precious. And if He is precious, we will have no problem laying these things aside. So you know what we need to do? We need to check our precious meter. How precious is the Lord Jesus Christ to us. Oh, by the way, just for homework for next week, let me give you the definition of precious, if I can find it. There it is. Highly valued, much esteemed. Okay? So chew on that for a little bit. Think about how easy is it for us to lay aside these things and to desire that sincere milk of the word and desire that we can receive all the possible nutrients that we can to grow thereby because we have tasted that the Lord is gracious. And that's where we are. Peter wanted these people to succeed. He wanted them to spread the gospel like wildfire all over the known world, and they had to be equipped to do so. He loved Paul and cared about his ministry and cared about the fruit of his work, that it would continue and remain. The same is true for us. We studied in Genesis this morning, right? The different families, where we all come from. Okay? Most of us are in that Gentile group. If not all of us are. Okay? Most of us are. Do you think he wants us to succeed too? Here in 2024? Absolutely. So will we? I hope we will.